This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Today, we're joined by Jacob Beckett, who is a software entrepreneur running three companies and a real estate investor. We're going to dive into his story, how he took a loan from his grandmother, pretty much lost it all, and then went on from that to build a good-sized portfolio and now an established entrepreneur in PropTech. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Zane. How are you?
Good. Good to talk. How is everything going?
Very well. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Everything okay? You guys safe?
Yeah, we're safe. Certainly some silly things going on here stateside, but yeah, we're safe and just getting used to the new normal. I think we've got a bit more time like this.
So. I know. Who knows when we'll be out of the woods, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like what's your story? How did you get started?
My start would be in college. So when I was a freshman in college, I was studying business and I saw an infomercial on real estate, fixing and flipping real estate.
Like an ad somewhere, like one of those get rich quick ads?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was on the television. It was late at night. I don't even know why I turned the TV on, but there was exactly this. It was a scheme about fixing and flipping houses, and it intrigued me because, quite honestly, I didn't know anyone who worked in real estate. And so it was intriguing that they got my interest, and I went to a seminar. Actually, the next day, they were having a Friday night seminar, a free seminar.
So this, you are a great audience for this because they showed you an ad. Next day, you followed through and you attended a seminar that was free. Did they try to upsell you on anything?
Oh yeah, it was all the upsells, Zane. I mean, I don't know if you have any experience. I'm sure you have some experience with seminars, but the real estate seminars are a sales, definitely a sales funnel, and the good ones are really good at it. So that was a free one night. They taught me a few things. Really, most of it was just a big lead up to purchase the weekend, right? And so I purchased the weekend. It was $995. I put it on the credit card, I learned a lot during the weekend. But then they also upsold to the next level of things. But long story short, that was my entry to real estate. So some real estate seminars, no one in my family, none of my friends, I didn't know anyone involved in real estate. And actually what happened is that I was studying business and I went back to my course offerings at my university. There was nothing about real estate. I was control finding, looking for real estate, and it's all around us. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is weird. Why isn't there anything about real estate? And so I continued to learn. I did some fix and flips through college. My grandma actually was my first investor.
Okay.
Yeah, I put up some of grandma's money with some hard money loans, with some loan shark type people. And that's how I bought.
Grandma, right? You weren't charging her exorbitant interest rates and, you know, being hard money.
Exactly. So that was my start. And so as I continued through college, I saw an entrepreneurship minor, and that was probably one of the best decisions I ever made. So thankful for that. It was a young program at our university, teaching entrepreneurship, and the professors were retired out VC, owners of VC companies. And it was just like, I would just sit there every single class. It was like kind of seminar setting, and I would just soak it in, all real life examples talking about how to start companies and scale them and sell them. And we did business plans and things, but Really, I was also at the time working through college. So I would work on Saturday, Sunday, and Mondays from about 2 p.m. to 2 a.m., 12-hour shifts. And that's how I kind of paid my way through college. And it was actually at that job that I really got motivated to do my own thing, because I just couldn't stand being controlled in the sense of having to clock in at a certain time and not being able to take days off necessarily when I wanted them. And, you know, them telling me when I could, how many days I could be sick, for example. And that kind of really drove a passion to just go out and do my own thing, run a business, and see what happens, kind of call my own shots.
Awesome. So you knew you wanted to be in real estate, or you just knew you wanted to do something and you weren't sure what it is you wanted to do?
So actually, since I had learned about real estate and I got into a couple of deals in college, I was queuing that up, just going out and doing fix and flips and wholesale deals. I was comparing that against potentially getting my CPA license and getting into maybe private equity or investment banking type of route. And the real estate was just really intriguing. The idea that I could just not have to take a job. As soon as I graduated college, I quit the job that I was doing through college. I got a realtor's license, and I started focusing on real estate full time, and was on those kind of focused on single family homes, and just purchasing distressed sales, fixing them up, selling them.
How did you learn to just start looking at properties and then finding value, fixing and flipping? Did you learn it from the course, or did you learn through your own mistakes? Did you have mentors around you?
So the seminars, I definitely learned things. I learned through doing myself, which the third part of that equation that you mentioned in terms of mentors is really what I needed. I paid the price for that, because I just took what I was being taught and I just went out and did it with no senior partner, no mentor to be looking over my shoulder and actually saying, yeah, your assumptions are right, or you need to consider something else. So I actually lost money on my first two fix and flips. And so I was learning as I was going and paying my tuition along the way.
How bad were the mistakes? Because some people in this position would have probably said, this isn't for me. And I'm sure you probably know people like that.
Yeah. So sophomore in college, I was 100 grand in the hole.
Oh my God.
How it comes out, because
did you make money did you lose grandma's money as well, or did that work out okay?
Yeah, I turned grandma's money from 100 grand to 30 grand.
Oh my God.
And then grandma had also purchased the $25,000 or $30,000 seminar for me to learn how to do the fix and flips.
Wow.
One of the big reasons why, so I got my bumps and bruises, and it all comes down to assumptions. I assumed that I could sell the properties for more than I actually ended up doing. And what I did is I just took the word of my realtor. He said, you know, if you buy it and fix it up, you can sell it for X. And I took him for his word. Said, okay, that sounds great. I didn't back that up. I didn't be conservative and say, what if it's not that? What if it doesn't turn out that way? I just took him for his word, and you don't do that, right? You gotta back up your assumptions with cold hard knowledge. And so,
does that mean that your realtor misled you, or really was it just, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do?
Yeah, you could on one side maybe say that this guy was just looking for commissions, right? He was just trying to close the deal, knew what I was trying to do and trying to make it work. And maybe he was crossing his fingers in the background that it would work out. Or he was just naive. He didn't know. I didn't really try to investigate that too much. I had never did another deal with him. I think fundamentally that was one of the big issues. And then also construction. The contractors you know, that's a whole world in its own. If you're going to do big improvements, there's lots of different contractors and trades, and you have to have good people. You know, you could get burned very easily, and so I after I sold those first two deals, I had the $100,000 bank balance down to $30,000, and the thing is I had met people, real estate investors, doing this successfully. So I knew that was possible. I just made some mistakes, and unfortunately, I did two deals at the same time instead of just taking it one at a time. And so I just doubled my mistake in terms of expense. And so what I wanted to do, I actually remember putting a spreadsheet together and seeing if I went the CPA route and I went kind of through the private equity and I was starting my, you know, starting salaries and after tax dollars and seeing how long it would take to pay back that $70,000. And then I compared it against if I could just go out there and really crush it, just do it right this time around, my payback period would be seven times quicker, right, than if I had got that job. So that's what I did. I went for it and I paid my grandma back within 12 months of graduating, 12 months full time.
Wow. To lose 70% and just come bouncing back, that itself is one thing. And then from where you've gone to where you are now, that's quite something else. So you went from doing a couple of, sounds like you were doing a bit of everything, right? And then how did you decide to focus and scale up what you were doing on real estate?
So what happened is that I actually met an investor who had a rental property portfolio, and I met him at a meetup, and we were just networking, and I was he told me about, I think he had 12 properties, and he's making something like six figures a year. I think it was about $10,000, $9,000 a month in rent income, and every month that rent income comes in, right? He doesn't have to do anything. And that conversation, I remember thinking, man, if I had a portfolio like that, that would be pretty awesome. And so that was my first kind of light bulb in terms of, let me try to get this portfolio that pays me six figures in rent income. And then quite honestly, as I chased that, I just saw the power of owning more properties, of owning less of more properties. And I can get into kind of how I made that discovery if you'd like to. But ultimately, I figured out that if I partner up with people out there looking for a return on their investment, looking to get involved in real estate, but not wanting the full responsibility and liability of doing so, that I could take and own 30% of, say, 1,000 units or properties, and I'd be much better off than if I owned 100% of, say, 30 properties.
Absolutely. This is the exact same analogy even in startups, where people are so fixated on maintaining equity, whereas if you give up some equity, you end up bringing better people on board, you get investors. Now you own something of a much bigger pie. What is it? You better to own 20% of a billion-dollar company than to own 100% of something that's worth very little.